The man's wife was in labor. And he shouted to her, "Come on, push! Push harder." Now, you may not think much of that story, but I wanted to set the context for you, to know the setting for that story. The man's wife was in labor. He yells to her and shouts, "Come on, push! Push harder." She yells back to him, "Shut up! Stop talking to me." The man explains, "Well, what do you expect? It was an old car. We need to get to the hospital and start it somehow." She'll explain it to you. So it's important to know the setting. And as we look at the Christian day of Pentecost, as we read about it in the book of Acts, as all who are gathered at the house of God, all who are gathered at the temple, we understand that it occurred during the feast of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. The feast of Pentecost, known as the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot, which means weeks. Specifically, 7 weeks. 50 days following the celebration of Passover. Thus the name Pentecost. It's one of 3 great celebrations. It cannot be overemphasized how important these celebrations were on the Jewish calendar. There was the Passover that, of course, leads to the Exodus event. There is Pentecost, and then there is Tabernacles. Each of these celebrations, each of these feasts, all Jewish men throughout the world were to make a pilgrimage and appear at the temple. And so now, for the Feast of Pentecost, for the Hebrew people, it was the designated time to celebrate the giving of the Torah, the first 5 books of their scriptures, the revelations of Moses during the Exodus, during the period on Mount Sinai. At the time of the gospel story, this had taken place 1,200 years earlier. Moses received the proclamation of the 10 commandments and the foundation of the law that would be the basis of their religion. Also, along with that, it was the time of the first harvest. And so then, one was to bring an offering of grain and 2 loaves of bread. A common theme was to give the first fruits, the first of the harvest, in celebration of what God has done and confidence in what God would continue to do. And in association with that sense of giving and offering, a portion of the harvest was to be set aside for the poor. And so there is an expression of concern, and there is action taking place for those who are in need. And so then there is an expression of thanks to God for the covenant that has been established, the giving of the Torah and the commandments, the relationship God has with His people, and also in celebration of the harvest. It is a way to show hope in God for what God has done and trust in God for God's continual and ongoing care. Now, for us, it's difficult to imagine these celebrations. These gatherings are almost beyond our imagination. The temple platform in Jerusalem was 900 feet by 1,500 feet. That is 3 by 5 football fields. It could hold thousands and thousands of people on the Temple Mount at the same time. And so that is our setting. That is the context of the story. Where we are told a rush of violent wind passed over the people, representing the presence of God. A wind that takes us back to the time of creation, the creative power of God sweeping over the face of the earth. The wind which tells us a time of new creation, the power of God that sweeps over the people. A tremendous display of God's Spirit and God's presence. We also think of a more intimate setting. In John's Gospel, we read, on the evening of that day, on the evening of the resurrection, Jesus came and stood among the disciples with a greeting of peace. That emphasis of peace is that one is to experience every good thing and to be an expression in one's own life of all that is good. To be what you ought to be to God and what you ought to be to one another. We cannot have peace. We cannot have contentment until others are at peace as well. We cannot have peace while others live in turmoil. We cannot have peace while others live in conflict. We cannot have peace while others live in pain and suffering. And then we are told that Jesus breathed on them. Just a breath-like wind. And said, receive the Holy Spirit. Experience the breath of life. Experience the breath of creation. To breathe. What did the green grape say to the purple grape? Anybody? Breathe! Get it? Turn purple? Now you get it. Breathe. It's important for us to pause and to breathe the breath of life. The Spirit that is life-giving. Life to oneself and life that we give to others. We are entrusted with the message of forgiveness and we are sent out. The Spirit of the day of Pentecost passes like a violent wind over the mass of people at the temple. The Spirit on that day of Jesus' resurrection with the closest disciples in a small secluded room comes in a breath-like wind. Experience the Spirit. I was reading this week about hypersonic sound. Hypersonic sound. Sound that will travel like a laser beam precision, up to 150 yards, it is said. And to hear it, you have to be in the particular place that it is aimed. And so it will be heard in that particular place by one person. And those people immediately around would not hear it. Whether it be music or the sound of someone's voice, you have to be in a specific position to be aware of the noise, to be aware of the sound. A reminder for us that each and every one of us, in our own individual place and time, receive that specific power of the Spirit for our lives. Specifically for us. In our own lives. When we reflect the quality of the Spirit, we look at how it is described in Scriptures. The Spirit is the Parakletos. And that defines the one who is called in. Someone who is brought in to take action on the behalf of others. It is described as the role of an advocate. To plead for a cause, to render a service, to do something. It is also described as one who is to be a comforter. Now, in modern English, our understanding of comfort is that we receive consolation, we receive sympathy, and that's just part of it. Because the root of the word comfort comes from the Greek fortis, where we get fortress. A comforter is one who is to build up, to be brave and too strong and to be courageous, to be equipped and full of power, to be able to be triumphant, to be able to be victorious in coping with the life that we live. The Spirit gives us power so we do not fall into a sense of victimhood. With the power and the presence of the Spirit individually defined for our lives, that we have a sense of self-determination that we can overcome. A young boy is flying his kite. It was a windy day. The kite went higher and higher and higher up into the sky till it was just barely a speck you could hardly see. A man walks by and sees the boy holding this ball of string. And he looks up into the sky and he questions the boy, "How can you know that it's up there?" And the boy says, "I can feel it. I can feel it." The Spirit of God is alive and active, something for us to feel. It is present with us, sharing love and to be a witness and to serve. That we live lives of healing, of caring, of a correcting touch. Breathe the presence of the Spirit.